Call to order the Monday, April 8th, 2019 meeting of the City Council. If you would all please join us in a moment of private invocation and then the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, 1.4 on our agenda tonight is roll call, and Angel is not going to be with us tonight. So, do we need a...
I'll make a motion to excuse Angel from tonight's meeting.
Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And motion passes. And then we have 1.5 is our citizen input. Is there anybody here tonight that would like to speak on an issue not on the agenda for the council? Okay. Nobody spoke up. So item number 2 is our consent agenda. And this includes the approval of the City Council minutes from March 25th. Do we need to make a motion on those?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Okay, and then we need to make some changes to the minutes with regard to Maria. She actually recused herself before the executive session, and it doesn't show.
It's not noted.
So if you want to make a motion to...
Make that motion with the...
With the exception.
With the exception.
Okay. Of changing the minutes from the 25th to show that, to reflect that.
Second?
I'll second it.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And motion passes. The next is the approval of the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, then we're on to our current business. 4.1, we have a public hearing to consider creating a new chapter, OMC 17.63, accessory dwelling units. Anne?
Thank you. So this item has been before you in the past in a little bit of a different form. The Planning Commission's been working on accessory dwelling units for quite some time, a number of meetings about it. They have created a draft that they would like you to consider adopting. They tried to address the concerns that the council had at the last public hearing, especially the owner occupancy requirement in the current draft. They're proposing in the R2 zone, one of the units on the lot, either the main house or the accessory dwelling unit, would need to be occupied by the owner of the lot. And that requirement would not be in R3 or R4 zones. That was the main change that happened. The other main change was that the new requirements would apply to the existing accessory dwelling units, the non-conforming ones, other than that owner occupancy requirement, which may not be able to be met. So I guess with that, I know we have several of the planning commissioners here tonight that wanted to talk to you about their work on this ordinance. I guess I would just answer any questions.
I'm going to open the public hearing.
Okay.
And then if you want to give your... All right, so we're going to open the public hearing for discussion for the revenue sources for 2018.
Accessory dwelling unit.
For the accessory dwelling units. Thank you. That was wrong on here. At 6:34. So we have staff presentation, which you've pretty much gone through, but do we have anything to be added by the Planning Commission?
Point of order, do you want us to go up before public comment or after public comment so we can address any questions before or after that?
Well, I've got a staff presentation to council as number two, and I don't know if we would consider the Planning Commission staff or if we'd have them come up after.
You could have them do both.
Both?
Okay. Initial presentation and then.
And then.
At the end if there's questions.
Okay, so, yeah, you can come up now.
You want us now? Okay, I guess we go ahead. We are the chair.
Chris Doro, member of the Planning Commission. Thank you for, again, hearing this issue, which we've worked quite a bit on. Again, we understand a lot of the history and the concerns by the council that were been brought up in the past, and in reviewing those is why we came up with the code we did. Really what we found was there wasn't an avenue for enforcement of any sort of code related other than an occupancy permit. And that's what really drove us into bringing this forward one more time with some revisions based on the input that you all gave us, and also try to address some of the housing needs that have been brought up and to find the best option to address the concerns, but still make quality housing available on these properties without having too great of an impact on the surrounding community. So I'm hoping you all had an opportunity to review those standards and those. Do you have any questions that we could answer to that?
Do you have any questions? So the changes that were made since the first time we heard about accessory dwelling units were parking and...
There's quite a few changes that were made to this. One of the biggest ones that I think that you as a council should really consider is the requirement for a foundation to be placed for these to be legal. That I think really addresses a lot of the concerns the council originally had when this issue came up. We thought having a building foundation present makes these a quality living space, as well as some of the other requirements on there. We also think it's important to provide parking spaces for each one of these. We also think it's important to provide emergency access, which is covered in this, as well as separate labeling for addresses so we can find these places when phone calls come up and when emergencies come up, and also potential impacts it may have on the surrounding community in regards to alley access and what sort of requirements are going to be necessary for that.
So there's owner occupancy in the R2 zone?
The owner occupancy in R2 is also one of the other changes that we made. We found this important because it's consistent with a lot of the state. A lot of the state has an owner occupancy requirement. And again, there is some concern about population densities and areas, and we thought owner occupancy was the easiest way to control and regulate maintenance upon these areas in the R2 zone. Now in R3 and R4, they do not require owner occupancy, and R1 they're not allowed.
But when you're saying owner occupancy, that's in one of the two dwellings.
One of the two dwellings.
Okay. So the owner can occupy the smaller dwelling if they wish to.
The owner can occupy the smaller,
yes,
if they wish to.
Okay. And they're not allowed in R1, owner
they're
occupancy.
Not allowed in R1.
Owner
and
occupancy
again,
R2, and then R3 and R4, it's open.
R3 and R4, it's open. It does not have to be owner occupied.
All right. Any more questions?
All right. Okay. We may be coming up again, as if you all need us to, we'll be happy to answer any questions. I also have Chairman Enns is with me as well, who's much more of an expert on the building aspects of these So, thank you.
So at this point, we're...
This is Roger.
Oh, Roger?
Roger Enns, Planning Commission. Just want to add a statement. I think we have to do something. If we leave it as it is, right now, the way it is, we can go build a garage with a permit, turn around after it's granted permission to be done, put in windows, doors, make it a rental unit, living unit, call the city back up and get a blessing. The city's not asking for such things as water hookups. The city did not get their revenue from the permits process. The addressing isn't up to what it should be. The hard surface parking or parking areas is not up to what it should be, but yet it can still all be legalized. Get a blessing from the city and it's all good to go. And you say you're tired of these ADUs that we have in the city now, over 100 of them, that are there illegally, a lot of them run down, a lot of them without foundations. You can just imagine every kind of scenario, it's out there. So I think you really need to consider this and see where it can go. Questions?
I've just got one question for Ann. So this gives us a way of policing, for lack of a better word.
This gives us some guidelines, because
yeah.
Right now there's nothing. So yeah.
So if they don't meet these requirements, we have a way of
saying it's not allowed.
Yeah, saying it's not allowed, and we can't do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this applies to existing also?
Correct.
All right. Do we have any other questions? All right. At this point in time, we'd like to open the open it to public testimony. So if there is anybody who is in support that would like to come up and ask the council questions and clarify issues, you're welcome to come to the podium now.
Hi, I'm Zeke Rodriguez. I've been a resident since I was born in Othello. I'm a developer also. Mm-hmm. And we are very short of houses. And another thing is growing is a lot of people are asking me individually, hey, can you build two units in one lot? I've been saying no, because I'm really tied up. There's a lot of families out here that want to be there close to the relative, especially their mom or their grandma. And I keep saying no, I don't have that kind of buildings right now. But they're asking, can I build them? Yes, I can. And of course, you know, most of the time it has to be the right lot size. But I think it'd be a great idea if we could keep growing some growth like that. And also make a house more affordable to senior citizens and to need a family. So hope you guys could take that consideration. But I get about 2 or 3 calls a day. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in support? All right. Would you like to?
Is it possible to put the zoning map up there so folks can see where the homes are?
It's almost the entire state is zone R2 or more. There's only 2 very small areas in town that are R1.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't R2 exclude too?
No. These are allowed in R2 and up.
With or not.
And that's my major problem with it.
It's allowed in R2 with owner occupancy.
And Well, we can talk about that later, but that's not enforceable. It's just not.
Well, it's going to have to be done through the permitting or they may be required to like to send something in.
But I don't know if it, if a person changed their address, how do you track it?
Anne.
Right, the light yellow?
The light yellow?
Light yellow.
So basically, the only place that this is going to exclude is the R1 sections. And we actually only have two very small areas in town that are R1. Which would be the northeast corner of town and up around Catalpa and Fern, that area.
Okay. Would anybody else like to speak in favor? Chris?
I do need to probably speak to planning commission issues on this because yes, you're seeing the current zoning. You will soon be seeing some new suggestions about changing some of the zoning because one of the things that did become very obvious to us is we do have some areas and we have some deficiency in our zoning. 85% of our town is R2 and I don't think that's reflective of the population and the current housing within those areas. So we have some recommendations that will be coming to you all to consider. One of the things that we looked at when we researched this and I really have to commend Chairman Enns for asking us to research and go look at these. It was eye-opening, you know, and I could see where your all concerns were and how, you know, trying to come up with ways to address them. But one of the things that we found was that these tend to be in clusters of areas and areas that are already close to high density areas within Othello. And that's one of the reasons why we are going to be making some suggestions to have some increased R3, some shrinking of R2, some increased R1, and some other rezoning within the town to address what Othello is now and allow for potential future growth. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else like to speak in support? Not hearing anybody. Was there anybody that would like to speak that's neutral to the proposal?
Okay, my name is Bob Carlson. I'm at 2213 South Broadway Avenue here in Othello. I just want you to consider, I need to consider a lot of things, but one thing I want to bring up is under 050, it's labeled E, it probably should be labeled something different, but it talks about getting the ones that are existing now legal down the road. And I think you need to consider how much you're going to enforce that. It says that they need to meet all the provisions of this chapter and all applicable building and life safety codes. And are you willing to do that? I mean, all, every one of things, everything that's said there. So I want you to consider that before you vote on it. If you're willing to do that, I think it'd be fine. If not, I think you should wait until you're willing to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Lauren Wiltsey. I live at 805 East Elm. I think Bob made a good comment there. And then some things I heard from the Planning Commission that caused me concern is the fact that cities and even counties, none of us have the authority to alter the state building code and its requirements. And the thing to remember is a lot of these units, though they've got people in them, they've been allowed to be in them, many of them may not have met the building code for a change of occupancy, which is what I mentioned to the mayor several weeks ago, and I'm glad to see that the city's moving in the right direction to make those changes. The in order to do that, these units have to meet the state energy code, and as long as it was mentioned here, you know, foundations and things, but you don't want to permit a or approve a code that allows substandard housing for these folks, you know, for people to, you know, put other people or even their family, if this is restricted to their family members, in substandard units and dwellings. The city needs to be cognizant of the fact that codes like this are your avenue to create renewal of your community, to start new, to kind of keep your face value of your city relevant, and not, like it was mentioned, many of them are maybe run down and, you know, getting more dilapidated. This is an opportunity to come up with a code that creates a better environment for the neighbors and those around them. Where I live, there's a wood shop right next door to me that's had two or three families in it. And right now, I'm glad to see parking off of the alleyway, because several times you can't drive through the alley because they're parking. One thing I think that you might be forgetting about right at the moment is that if you're going to allow access off an alley, it needs to be well defined as to what that is, because they will, if you treat it like a separate unit, there are going to be people come to visit that person in that dwelling and not the primary residence on the lot. Where are they going to park? You say two parking spaces, but if we say three adults are allowed to occupy such dwelling, then remember, this is for the accessory dwelling, which is supposed to be the smaller dwelling. So saying that the occupant lives in the primary dwelling or second dwelling is immaterial. You need to treat it like it's always the accessory occupant in the accessory dwelling. And if you, right now, I see that it's listed to three adults. Most adults drive. Most adults are going to have more than, you know, two cars if that's the case. So make it something sound. Take your time and do this right. It talks about having a sidewalk that approaches the primary street that goes to the secondary unit. Okay, that's fine. But then it talks about utilizing the alley. Is that utilizing the alley as a street, or is that utilizing the alley as an alley? So I understand that you got some situations with deep lots that, you know, most of these units are accessible through the alley. I guarantee you, where I live, people drive through the alley like a street. And you got to start thinking about if they put up fences, which they're allowed. If you don't address, how are you addressing fence heights on these accessory dwellings? Are going to be 6-foot fences right to the edge of the alley? Is there a clear view triangle requirement? Is there, how are they going to create safety issues for people that start driving down that street? If it's treated like a street, is it going to be hard surface? Is it going to be paved? So there's still, I think you're moving in the right direction. I'm glad to see you've made leaps and bounds progress over what was originally explained to me. But I don't think it's quite there yet. There's some holes.
I was going to say, I believe that a lot of the issues that you're talking about, the fences and the type of paving or surfacing that has to be in, are addressed in other portions of our ordinance.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you need to correlate that with what your, the overall big picture. What is it? How are these internal lots actually going to be able to be utilized and used, and what's the impact there? Because some of these people don't own necessarily and don't control where the access to the primary road is. Mm-hmm. which is city domain. Now, when I speak of that, I'm talking like the sidewalk. Is the sidewalk going to go to the alley? If they're accessible primarily from the alley, and the code right now says the side or the rear, not many codes in the state of Washington have an access to a secondary dwelling be the rear lot line. If that's the case, they change the lot, the zoning, and they have setbacks from both ends, like a through, they treat it more like a through lot. It's usually on the side or a separate facade, which you have that. And that's mainly for the ones that are internal, inside of dwelling, attached dwelling units through the main dwelling. But when they're truly detached, you want them facing in a way that the EMS people, the emergency responders, can recognize it quick and easy. It's pretty hard to address off of an alley. And so you got to start thinking about that. How's that going to work? Where's the site? Where's the address going to be posted? If there's four lots in the middle of the alley, how's it going to, where are those addresses going to be posted on each of those lots? Is it a clear pathway to the secondary dwelling from the primary street? You got to start thinking the big picture, because the bulk of your city you're making in this zone right now. Now, what I heard tonight with posing supposedly zoning changes tonight, I would recommend that you postpone, because this is a good thing. You're doing a great thing. In fact, there's legislation at the state level right now for this very issue, okay, for GMA counties. And if Othello keeps growing the way it is, it's not long, we'll be there, okay? So do it right. If I was looking at this, if I was in your shoes, I'd say, I want to see the proposed zoning changes that augment this. How big is the R2 and the R3 and the R4 zones going to be with what they're recommending to you, and then apply it appropriately according to that? You may find that you don't need it in your R2 zone, depending on where it ends up being. So you evaluate it all. You know, get it together, get a whole package out of it. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, is there anybody else? Okay.
My name is Dale Wyman, and I live at 848 Juniper. I live just kitty corner across from Mr. Wellesley. But our alley has become a street. We have one dwelling back of us. If I used my garage, which I don't, but if I used my garage, there'd be a couple more cars a day down that dirt alley. The building that is there is not approved. It has no building permit for a residence. It's a shop, but they've lived in it for 10, 12 years. The city has not enforced that zone. And I see around town, as I drive around town, different areas that the zones are not enforced. So now we're going to lower our zoning and lower our standards because we couldn't enforce what was going on within our city. I disagree with lowering our standards. I think that we should hold them up to make it a cleaner and a better city so people want to move here, not lower it and have cars parked all over the street. Their parking issue is one of the biggest issues I see where these cars are going to go. In our area, there's alleys, but a lot of the area of the city has no alleys, so you're going to stack up cars in the street. 90% of the households have at least two cars and a boat or something else. So you have no parking. It becomes, to me, lowering of the standards. And why do that? Why not hold the values of our properties up? The reason that I see it happening is so then a few people can go in and make some money off of converting garages into housing. The housing, you're saying that you're going to see that the owner occupied, that you throw that whole section out. There's no way that the city is going to control who lives in a house. It's impossible to do. On the scale that you're thinking about, as I see, that the city is thinking about doing it. I think that we should try to improve our city and not run it down. If you want to take one small section that's R3 and R4 and go into this, but to lower the value of the rest of our houses, I think is a tragedy. Thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak who is neutral? Anybody that wants to speak that is in opposition? All right. Does any of the staff, would they like to respond?
I'd like to ask Ann to come to the mic and do some clarifications. So there was two concerns. One concern was that the alleyways were going to be taken up. The other concern was that there wasn't going to be an access from Main Street. But I see in this section that it says that it has to be accessible and visible from a main street for emergency services.
Right, in 030C. So that sidewalk is to the street. An alley is not a street. The street is the street, the named street. As well as
with a concrete or asphalt walkway with minimum of 4 feet in width and no obstruction. So it has to face a main street. So that takes care of the issue with what the address is going to be, correct?
Right, and so the addressing is G, and it includes a provision that if the ADU is not clearly visible from the street, there needs to be a sign showing the address with an arrow or something showing that there is a unit, because that was a big concern, is you need to have the emergency services providers be able to find these units. You know, when every second counts, that they need to be able to find them.
Okay, and then there's also above that a maximum lot coverage of all buildings on the lot. So if you already have a house and that house covers X number square feet of your lot size, and you have an outbuilding already which houses your motor home or another car or whatever, how much room do you have left to build an ADU? I think that sort of excludes that lot from being even there even being an option for that person to put in for a building permit to do an ADU.
Right. Most of the lots in Othello are fairly small, 7,000 square feet or less. So, although most of the houses are small as well. So, but I mean, the lot coverage does help control.
And that's the reason for the allowed in the zone or 35%, whichever is less.
Right. I mean, the zone's all currently, it's 35%. Right. So,
so in order for somebody to build an ADU with this ordinance in place, they would have to come to the city and seek a building permit and then be regulated while building under that building permit.
Right.
With the approval of the city.
Right.
And then they could be shut down at any time if they do not follow the ordinance.
Correct.
Okay.
How do you plan to regulate whether they're owner occupancy or not? Have we looked into that?
So there is a provision that they would have to file a restriction on the deed with the county. Mm-hmm. So then that controls it at sale. You know, there can be some that don't get financed. So in that case, we'd be dealing with it on a complaint basis, and which I believe is the reason for the owner occupancy requirement, is that the thought is they're maybe not cared for as well. So if it's not being cared for very well, there's going to be a complaint. We're going to look into it. We're going to see if it's not owner occupied, and then they'll have to remedy
that. How many
that.
Complaints are coming now because of dilapidated, ran down ADUs?
Not many. But there's, you know, there is that option.
So then again, on item H of this zoning ordinance, it states that all other zoning requirements such as setbacks shall be met and specifically modified in this chapter. Setbacks, separations between units shall be regulated in by the building code. So does that take care of the parking issue? Does that take care of the fence issue?
So parking is under D, so two spaces for each unit. So four spaces, if you have a house and an ADU, that's four parking spaces needed on that site.
Okay, but does it need to go further and say that it has to be X number of feet from the edge of the alley? Does it need to define it more? That's a setback for
yeah, it's in the setback code already.
I'm just asking because this was posed, this mm-hmm. was brought up. So if it's defensible that it already exists, I want to know.
And I did you add that to the parking chapter?
It's an H.
Well, that's for the building. Setback for the building.
That's for the setbacks. For the parking, also though.
For, is it setback from, oh, that's for the building. There is a code for setback from mm-hmm. like the garage and the alley.
Garage, right. I just don't remember if we made the parking spaces.
And how much you need like for your car to turn, the radius to get into the parking lot.
I remember we discussed that. I don't remember if that's in the residential that we've been talking about.
There is a code to take care of that. But isn't that covered by I in our development standards? If they can't meet setbacks for everything, then it can't be done. Maybe you can't be built unless everything can be met.
I think your question was about the parking specifically. Is that right?
Well, it was post. I think it's
covered under H. All zoning requirements such as setbacks shall be met unless specifically modified by this ordinance. So it's all things in our other ordinances that are required for a dwelling unit and lot are going to be required for these lots unless specifically modified by this ordinance.
Okay, so in order to approve a building permit for an ADU, are you going to have a drawing?
Yes.
Submitted.
A site plan and building plans.
A site plan,
yes.
Building plan.
It would show the parking. It would show the sidewalk.
And so that would have to be reviewed, and all of the issues that have been brought up tonight would have to be covered. And if they were not covered, if there was not a plan for parking, if there was not a plan for facing the street and having access to a main street for your address, then you would deny the building permit, correct?
Yes.
You can come back up and talk if you'd like.
And who would monitor, like, if there's nothing in place now, and just reading, like, for the existing, the amount of work that's going to take to bring everything to code, like, who on the city staff?
So that is the code enforcement officer mm-hmm. and the building inspector, and they are working on the existing ones. It's going slowly. There's been a lot of other enforcement issues going on as well, but they have been slowly patrolling, finding ones, sending out notices, bringing them into compliance with basic life safety standards. Not all of these standards, because these aren't adopted, but just egress windows, smoke alarms.
Once these are adopted, then they have to come up to code with these.
Everything
also.
Separate water connection, parking spaces, everything that's in here.
So I have a question about water connections. I know here a year ago, 2 years, I guess it's been longer than that, Travis was here. He talked about the amount of water connections that the state's allowing the city to have. Do you know how many water connections the city has available?
I do not. I don't think it would be limited by the number of connections. It would be limited by the total volume
water. When that was brought up, it was connections. He had brought up connections, and we were pretty limited on the amount that we had left. So every one of these is going to require a new water connection.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask if Sean knows anything on that.
I do believe that the state does limit us to our number of connections, but as we drill wells and build water tanks, we'll be able to increase that
number. But we haven't drilled any new wells, and I know the last time this was brought up, our number of water connections was limited, and we've had several buildings built. Mr. Enns has built an apartment building that's got six water connections to it.
It was something in the neighborhood of 855.
No, I don't think there was. We didn't have that many left.
Connections.
Yeah.
Is what?
And then how the apartments down there? Those were all connections. You know, it just.
That was before the one out on the other side of the highway, though.
I think it was after
well,
that.
Well, nine. I think it was before it.
I'd like to know how many water connections we actually have left.
That should be in our water system plan. I can get that number to you. And email it to you.
Okay.
So, but we have, well 3R has been drilled and we should have a pump in that hole.
That was a pre-existing well.
What's that?
But
we increased our production. The production of that well 3R is more than what well 3 was originally.
Actually, I think the water connections are based on the water right that the city has and how much we can produce. And that's the limiting factor for the amount of water connections that a city can have is what their water right will maintain.
Okay, I will look into that
about
and come down.
How much you can get. You can go out and get a lot of water, but it's what you have a right to. But I felt it was a pretty large number. Anyway, that's something to check into.
It could have been, I just.
It's something to check into. Now, do you have something else you want to add?
If all three of the adults have six kids.
My concern was making sure that the alley wasn't going to be necessarily intended to be treated as a street, to be that the sidewalk actually has to come out to the primary street, whatever it is. Just make sure that it's clear for everybody. The issue with the alley and parking, I mean, a lot of times parking codes require setbacks to the adjacent property line. I would just wanted to make sure that's clarified, that people have thought about that. How deep are they? Are they subcompact, or do they get to choose? Or are they going to have to be full-size parking spots for a full-size vehicle, you know, type of thing? Make sure that you make sure that now's the time to do it. Yeah. Now's the time to iron it out, because I guarantee you you'll find ways to use things in a myriad of avenues that you haven't even begun to think of today.
So I believe here a couple months ago we did discuss the parking setbacks, and believe me, I'm right with you about people using those alleys.
I
get it probably more than anybody else in this room. I understand that.
And I believe they're covered in an ordinance, the parking.
And Steve, I don't remember if we passed the ordinance on that, but I know that we discussed.
Yeah, so just because it's not covered directly in this ordinance, there's a lot of other ordinances that are still have to be followed along with this, unless it completely, unless this directly modifies that.
Yeah, so the only thing, what I'm hearing tonight that kind of is would throw a word to caution is that if there's zoning changes being proposed in conjunction with this, make sure you hear them together and not adopt the horse, you know, the cart and then the horse later. You do it together. Thanks.
Chris, did you want to come up?
I do want to, first off, it's tough to be sitting on the Planning Commission spending 2 or 3 years talking about all of these issues that people have brought up tonight and have that knowledge and not be able to go, well, we're doing this. For example, there are parking standards that are being revised currently and are going to be soon presented, which will address exactly what you're talking about. And also, I did want to point out within development standards section E, where we talk about some of the alley issues. That was a major debate and discussion with the Planning Commission, and we found the best way to address what will happen for the alleys to have the Public Works Director you know, manage those costs and decide if there needs to be an annual assessment to anybody who has these for impacts that they have on the alley. I agree that that was one of our biggest concerns. That's why we put the parking standards into place to address these, and why we put Section E as well as a consideration for any impacts that it has in the alleys and impacts in that maintenance beyond normal and customary.
All right, is there anybody else who would like to step on that speak?
One of my large concerns is the units that are already in place. The city has to take some action to take care of that before we allow more. Over in that section of the town, Roger cleaned up a mess, and I commend him for it. But just next door to him, one block, I think it's one block over, you go down that alley and you can't drive down it because of the cars and the junk and all the crap that's in there. Somewhere along the line, the city has to take responsibility, and it's on the books. It's been on the books for years, but nobody's wanted to be the bad guy and do it. So if the city has a concern of housing, let's have a concern for better housing and not junk up the whole neighborhood with a bunch of accessory buildings and garages turned into that type of thing. And please don't pat the people on the back that's already put in this mess and say, oh gee, you can just go ahead and live in it, we're not going to do anything, because I see that too often. Thank you.
Staff response. Have we already had enough staff response? Or are we, where are we at?
I have a question for Anne.
Mm-hmm, okay.
On N, it states the occupancy of maximum of 3 adults and any related children under age 18 and under.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's 3 women with 3 or 4 kids each, you could be looking at a.
Yeah.
You could. You know, it gets really hard to control that kind of thing. And it's kind of unusual to have a limit of the number of people, but the Planning Commission thought that that was important to have something. It's hard to enforce. How do you prove who lives there? But without something, then you can't do anything. So
could it be worded like a limit of, if this is going to remain that way, then you really wouldn't be able to control. I mean, because that could get out of control.
Well, then you're going to be relying on complaints again.
I was going to have the same question. 3 adults could have been 3 women, but I was going to say they could have 8 kids each. That's 20. Yeah. That's 27 people in a 2-bedroom house.
And that does happen. I'm here to tell you, it happens. I see it on a weekly basis.
Yeah, it's really hard to regulate how many people live in a building. So. Yeah, I don't really know what to do about that. Okay.
I think that's an absolutely excellent question. It's one we have a lot of debate on. And again, as a planning commissioner, I'd like to explain why we came up with that number, because you're absolutely right. And that you guys are bringing up the same questions we had on this. Here was our concern with any restriction beyond 3. We do think there's going to be an issue. We think, again, you have to talk about likelihoods. And we're gonna probably, if we were more restrictive, we're concerned about grandma not being allowed in with them, or my 19-year-old son, who still hasn't found a job yet, who lives in one of these and is an adult. We wanted to make some allowance for that to happen, you know, because that is gonna happen. That is gonna happen. And that's more likely to happen, as much as I hate to say it, and to restrict those folks out of that opportunity. We just couldn't find another way to do it than to do it the way we did it. Now, we also limited the amount of bedrooms and limited the sizes in other areas to try to control that concern as much as possible. But it's the, what do we do with grandma? What do we do with with grandpa who's living by himself now. What do we do with the 19-year-old child who still lives at home?
So does size of the unit limit on how many people can occupy bedrooms or?
There are limits in the building code. Mm-hmm. Again, it's hard to enforce, hard to prove who lives there.
Yeah.
But that can be said, you got 18, 20 people living in a regular house.
Yeah.
What can you do? I mean, you know, with 38 cars sitting around it, mm-hmm. it's going to happen.
All right. Any more questions?
In there, it talks about in the code that this accessory dwelling unit is intended to be subordinate to the primary residence. I encourage you to think about what that means. Generally, it means smaller, less recognizable, you know, over the residential primary structure.
I think that's one of the things that the council gave back to the commission, to the planning commission at first, is that we didn't want them to be duplexes. That if it's going to be
in essence, it'll
accessory.
Meet, if it's attached, it, you know, it's, I'm sorry, it's going to meet the definition of the building code as a duplex, regardless of what.
But duplexes
what
are generally
you want to call it.
Equal size or very similar.
Could
size.
Be, yeah. So right. If you want it smaller, based on what I'm hearing, I would encourage you to put a size to it and not just leave it open-ended.
All right. Any other questions or comments? All right, at this time, I'm going to close public testimony. And council members, do you have any more questions or need any other additional information?
Got it. If we're going to be changing the zones, I think we need to wait and find out.
I agree 100%.
If we're going to change these zones or not.
No, I'm not in disagreement.
So if you're wanting to wait, I've got a whole bunch of stuff here I want to talk about. But if you're not interested in passing this tonight, if you want to wait until the zones, we can wait until the zoning gets here. So I'm opposed to this. I am adamantly opposed to any new ADUs. I just am. I see them. I've seen them for 25 years here, and I see them consistently on a yearly basis get dilapidated and ran down. They get way over this three-adult limit. It's just not going to happen. And ourselves said that's not really enforceable. This living owner-occupied, it's not enforceable. There's no way to enforce that. I mean, I've got a whole list I can go over.
I can't say that I don't know where you're coming from, because I've kind of been there, but I also understand that if we don't have something on the books, there's no regulation. And we need to have something so that we can regulate.
Allowing new ADUs is not regulating it. What needs to be done, and I 100% agreement, the ADUs that's here need to be cleaned up and brought up to code. And that can be done without allowing new ADUs in.
Okay, but if you think for one second that a person can't build an ADU today, you're crazy. They can.
You're absolutely right.
So you're,
that's why you're going
basically
in,
not governing them.
That's why you're going in
and allowing them to build
ADUs.
What they want.
So if you're building a new ADU without a permit.
No. People are building them with permission of the city, because they're getting a building permit for it.
That's easy to stop.
How?
Ban ADUs.
Now you're talking about a whole different thing, Corey.
No, it's not. It's exactly the thing.
I think there's some issues with the state on this one. Chris, yeah.
Close the public testimony.
Corey, I probably most am aligned with many of your opinions.
Hold up. if you guys don't, you know, hold it down, we got to have some esprit de corps here. Basically, we've closed the public hearing. So if you're standing up to testify.
Oh, I thought I was called up to explain.
For additional information.
I'd like to listen to him.
He's got additional information on what the state.
Okay, but.
And that Corey, what you're bringing up, I mean, yes. And that was really kind of the eye-opening thing for me as a planning commissioner, was the fact that there were occupancy permits that were allowed because we don't have something written as code. And that was shocking to me. That's really what changed my opinion as a commissioner, as the need to get something on the books and done so that our enforcement does have the ability. You know, and I'm not gonna lie to you, these are very strict standards. I mean, I'm sure there's a few people looking at them going, holy cow, they're going to be difficult. And that's reality of it, because we do want to have quality facilities that last. But also we need to give the enforcement people some teeth, and I highly recommend you consider doing that, because that's where my aha moment came on these, and it changed my opinion and stance on what needs to be done for the city. It was when I found out they were being done.
And see, and here's
and
what
could
I'm
be
saying
done
is,
without code. But that's up for you guys from that, there to that decide. That's what we decided. This was the best approach, the easiest and the quickest to get things to hit the will of the council as it was 2 years ago, to address the concerns you currently have, and to better regulate and better control while still giving a housing opportunity to increase some of the housing issues. And like I said, it is closed, so I just wanted to address that.
Okay, the teeth can be given to code enforcement. Create the code without allowing new ADUs. You know, and so here's some of the other things that's coming up. You know, I know we've talked a lot about, or at least the last 5 years, about the water and sewer pipes in this town. What happens when you get 5 or 10 new ADUs in an area that's going to hook up onto that water and sewer system? Nobody in this town knows if a sewer system can handle another 40 people on it, 40 or 50 people on it. And if you get 10 systems, 10 units on a street, you're going to get 40 or 50 people on that system. You know, I believe it's looking for trouble. You know, and one of the other issues I've got on here is, why is it that we're giving new ADUs do things that old ADUs are not being forced to do? And what I'm coming at is the owner occupancy. Why are we allowing the old ADUs not to have to follow through with that instead of making everybody do it? If you're gonna pass this, it needs to be for everybody, not some for this and some for that.
I believe I heard them say, or heard Ann say, that this will, all of these requirements will be made of existing
1763.
The owner occupancy, because there are existing ones that are not owner occupied.
Which, that's wrong too. If you're gonna do it for one, you gotta do it for two.
Is there anything else?
No, I got a whole list. But that's just. I want to bring up one thing that Mr. Wine said, and you really need to pay attention to it. Is the parking issue? Drive down any street in the residential areas in town. Streets are full of parkers. Drive down the alleys. I'm leaving people on occasion, because cars right now are parked in the alleys. You know, and he said people come to visit, they're gonna pull in the alleys and they're gonna park in the alleys. I see it now. You allow new ADUs in, it's gonna get worse. And you know, he said clean up the old ones before you allow any new ones.
Okay, and I heard a couple of people say that they would like to hear on the zoning before we decide anything. I don't know if we need to make a motion at this point, we need to make a motion, whether it's to table it or to go ahead or...
When will you have the zoning?
We could bring the proposal now, but we have to go through a process. We have to change the comprehensive plan. We have to hold public hearings. So, you know, there's a whole process. It's probably going to come to you sometime this summer. We have to finish writing the industrial zone to present that as well. So, you know, there's a whole package that will come to you, but there's a lot of pieces that need to go into that before it can come to you formally. But we could bring it to you as what the recommendation is for the new zone boundaries. I could bring that next time.
So you could bring it to the next meeting?
Like I said, it's informal. It's yeah. Not, you know, it's not formalized. The zoning that you will adopt, because there's a whole lot of process that hasn't happened yet. But it's the Planning
idea.
Commission's current thoughts.
I'd just like to table this for a couple of weeks so that Angel can put his, you know, has his opportunity to speak on it, and that Sean's here, and that all of us can, you know, maybe have a better understanding of what it's going to entail.
Could you bring us some information on the zoning for the next meeting then,
mm-hmm.
too?
April 22nd?
Awesome. All right, then. Do we need a motion to table?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to table this to, what is it, April 22nd, so we can have better information.
Second. All right, motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, so I will close the public hearing at 7:32. Why didn't I close the public testimony on the public hearing? Okay. All right. So our next item on the agenda is 4.2, and it is on the AHBO on-call contract.
Yes. What you have before you is just the agreement we had tried to enter into with a previous surveyor that decided he actually did not want to. He wanted to retire instead of do surveying for us or anybody, I guess. So this is the next company that was in line. We've worked with them. I don't know. The one that was presented originally in the council agenda was cleaned up a little bit. I don't know if they got the actual one, but it was just addressing their name, minor things that has been sent to Kelly to look at too. But any case, this is not this is the base contract, and then we'll do amendments for every little specific piece of work that we want them to do.
Okay, and my understanding is that we did receive word back from Kelly that this is good to go?
What?
Okay.
This just basically says this is who we're going to call when we're going to have it done, right?
Yes.
And then the contracts come for any work he does?
Yes.
Yes, any surveying work that pops up, they'll give us a price for that specific job, and we'll handle it case by case basis.
I'll make a motion to approve the contract with AHBL.
Second.
All right, motion's been made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. All right, and we are on to number 5, our unfinished business. Does anybody have any unfinished business to come before the council?
There's a fire council meeting tomorrow.
Okay, thank you very much for reminding me. Did you get reminded just now?
All right, anybody else have any unfinished business?
7 o'clock or what? 7?
The number 6 is our new business. And the one thing I have under new business, I got from Spencer before the council meeting. If anybody is interested in joining Life Flight Network renewal, the renewal date is May 31st, and they need to have the application submitted to Donna no later than April 24th. And Life Flight is a medical it's medical transportation.
That's the helicopter you may see, or the airplane. This $50 covers you, your family, anyone that you would claim is a dependent on your tax return, because elderly or disabled people that live with you, for $50, you're covered for the year. Completely your choice.
Yeah.
We, as a city, we're getting a bit of a discount. Said it is $10 or $15 is the discount.
54.
Sorry?
So, and mine's 54.
Yeah. So,
I have it.
Oh, dear.
$54
yeah.
a year.
Yeah.
So if anybody on council 60. Is interested, I have the applications here. And that concludes. Oh, Dale has a question. Dale, do you have a question?
Gina, mm-hmm. No, I just going to say about that lifeline. It costs $47,740 to fly to Richland from here.
Yeah, so $50 is a good deal.
It's a good thing.
It's a very good deal.
24 years ago, it was $60,000.
I got a. It's not really new, but Terry's not here to say anything. But Lee Road needs some temporary patching, like yesterday.
It's between 7th and 14th. And
the yeah.
Border. Yeah.
Okay.
I know we're working on redoing that road, but it's horrible.
It needs filled.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to lose a wheel well or, you know, a rim or something.
I have not driven since the thaw has happened, so.
It's really bad.
So somebody will contact Terry?
I will make the notes too.
Awesome. Thank you. So that concludes the April 8th council meeting, and thank you for coming.